So back to Libya, our partner in the New York Times, John Burns, who's normally the London bureau chief, who was in Tripoli for the shock and awe of NATO's airstrikes earlier this week, raised this issue yesterday.
I was thinking as I was watching this that it was rather more like Gulf War One than Gulf War Two. And if you remember, in Gulf War One, U.S. Troops, Allied troops, did not advance into Iraq. Saddam Hussein survived a very severe bombing campaign and a subsequent rebellion on Iraqi territory by the Shia of southern Iraq. And it seems to me we've got a situation pretty much like that now.
That's John Burns of the New York Times. Joining us now is Robert Haddock, who is the managing editor for Small Wars Journal. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Let's take a look at that analysis of John Burns and see if we can't assess the mission of NATO right now in raising the number of airstrikes. 2,500 so far, and Gaddafi hasn't gone anywhere. No boots on the ground in Libya. What would you say are the principal differences between what NATO is doing in Libya and what the coalition attempted to do and successfully did in the Kuwait-Iraq war back in 1991? They certainly got Iraq out of Kuwait, but Saddam Hussein didn't go anywhere.
Yes. Well, the biggest difference is that in 1991, there was a large army capable of maneuver against Saddam's army in Libya. The rebel forces are immobile. They're incapable of offensive maneuver. They're really not don't have the training to be a credible military force at this point. They need a lot of work in that regard.
At a certain point, George H.W. Bush called for a rebellion in Iraq to overwhelm Saddam Hussein, but then the coalition didn't enforce a no-fly zone either in the south or in the Kurdish north, and Saddam Hussein was able to roll back the rebellion. Is NATO trying to get a rebellion going inside Tripoli with all of these airstrikes, do you think? And what do you make of that strategy or tactic?
Well, I think I'll take NATO at its word that the purpose of the repeated bombing of Gaddafi's compound in downtown Tripoli is to try to disrupt Gaddafi's command and control capability over his forces in the field. But there also is an element of coercion and psychological pressure involved with these repeated strikes against pro-regime targets in Tripoli. And I think that the purpose of that coercion and pressure is to try to get Gaddafi's inner circle to crack. Whether that's actually going to occur remains to be seen.
And it would seem as time goes on, that's more and more dubious. Alex North, of our partner, the BBC, who's in Tripoli this morning, seems to feel as though the consensus on the ground in Tripoli is that NATO is trying to take out Gaddafi with some sort of an airstrike. What impact would that have if his inner circle still retains power?
That's a good point. Firstly, Gaddafi knows how, having watched the campaign against Milosevic in Serbia in 1999, and then the campaigns in Iraq over the past 20 years, how to avoid being targeted. It's easy for him to go to residential areas and other no-go zones for NATO aircraft. But even if he were to be killed, he still has sons who are powerful actors in the country and retain loyalty among factions inside the security forces.
And he's believed to have a war chest of gold actually available to him inside the country or across the border in Chad. Well, then how does NATO keep this escalation from looking like an act of desperation as time goes on?
Well, in order to break the stalemate in the long run, NATO needs to have a much larger train and equip assistance program to the rebels to build them up to be a credible ground threat against government forces. That's the one best way to create real pressure against Gaddafi and be able to negotiate with him on favorable terms.
Robert Haddock, is the airstrike campaign at least doing what it originally was supposed to do, according to the United Nations, is protecting the people of Libya?
Yes, that's true. The campaign has reduced Gaddafi's army, which originally was something of a conventional military force with tanks and infantry fighting vehicles and artillery and so forth. It's pretty much reduced that conventional army down to an irregular guerrilla force that's now dressed as civilians and hiding in among the civilian population. So the threat of a humanitarian disaster in the east, that was averted by the air campaign, but the stalemate remains.
But does NATO really believe they can negotiate with Libya if everyone said they want him out?
See, that's a problem now. Yeah. Yes, in the case with Milosevic, he kind of had a way out, and so that in 1999, there could be sort of a political settlement. The indictments by the International Criminal Court make it more difficult to have a negotiated settlement in this case,
right.
I believe.
No way out for Muammar Gaddafi, and so therefore no reason to move. Robert Haddock, managing editor of Small Wars Journal, analyzing the situation of the NATO escalation of airstrikes in Libya. Robert, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.